Jim Ralph is the radio analyst for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He needs no introduction, but I'll give him one anyway. Hello, Ralphie. How are you?
Good, Bob, Kat, Eric. How are you guys doing?
And we're going all right. Well, I don't want to speak for Thomas. I have no idea whether he's any good. I really don't care if he's any good, to tell you the truth.
Doing well.
All right, there you go. So we're all fine. Thank you very much for asking.
Yeah, it was just kind of a greetings and salutation kind of.
Life. Yeah, yeah, very nice. So, with all the years, you know, your entire life, you've been around hockey arenas and around hockey teams, and for how many years have you been doing this color thing for the Leafs? A long time.
I think 21 years.
Yeah,
but 20 seasons. We missed a year in there, in 2004-05. So 20
you really felt the need to bring that up in the midst of this conversation? Anyway.
Yeah, because I didn't get paid that year. So I bring it up a lot.
Yeah. Well, you need a better agent to negotiate your contract. If they don't play, I still get paid. That's what you want written in there.
Yeah, I had that as a player.
Well, you had to have that as a player. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been able to feed yourself. Anyway, can we get to the point?
Yes.
So how much easier is it to watch this team play well, win games, score goals, than all of those dreadful years where you had to sit up there with Bonesy and look at a pathetic bunch of losers?
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't forget the 10 or 11-year stretch that they had. And, I mean, for us, one of the toughest parts was they'd be in February, they'd be 20 points out of a playoff spot. They'd be down 7-0 to the Rangers halfway through the second period.
Yeah.
And we got to talk about how important the next faceoff is.
Yeah, well, there you go.
It's nice that the faceoffs might be important now. But, you know, other teams have gone through it. Chicago went through it for a long stretch before they hit Taze and Kane in the draft and were able to rebuild. Pittsburgh went through it, to get Mario the first time and then Crosby the second time. So you've been around long enough, you see everybody's gone through it. And then we've got our friends in Ottawa who go from being a goal away to the Stanley Cup Finals last spring to, you know, being, are they a rebuild? Do you get rid of Carlson? Do they need a new building? So as much as it's more fun now, you also see, even in Edmonton's a pretty good example, how fast things can change the other way again.
So this little streak started, if memory serves me, with the overtime win over Chicago, 3-2. And then the next night they go into Dallas and win 4-1, which was a big win. And then the break, right?
Yeah.
And they haven't stopped since then. And the one thing that has been notable is all of a sudden the biscuit is going in the basket with more regularity. And they're not putting in 7 or 8 a night, but they're scoring a lot more than they did for a long period of time. Do you think this is deliberate, intentional, that this is the coach taking the handcuffs off these guys, or is something else going on? What do you think?
Well, it coincides nicely with a decision Mike Babcock made that costs Matt Martin a spot in the lineup, but Leo Komarov was moved off Kadri's line to the fourth line.
Right.
Marner moves in. Yeah, now Marner plays with Nazem Kadri, who's all of a sudden hot as well, and Patrick Marleau. So Mike Babcock in the weeks before was sort of sparring with the media saying, you know, I coach the team, you guys want line changes, but I coach the team, and lo and behold, it was line changes that really turned it around. Now, I mean, you know, eventually you go cold and you've got to shuffle the deck again. But right now, I mean, I don't think I can remember Mitch Marner playing any better than he has. And, you know, he spent some time in the fourth line as well as part of his punishment.
It's so great, Jim, that there are so many young guys that you can look to. And we saw it again last night. Nylander, one of them. You mentioned Marner, obviously Matthews. But is it concerning that this continues to happen? You have a 3-goal lead. You're at home. You're going up against the league's best. Austin said it after the game. You know, it doesn't matter who we play. We expect to win every night. And they did pick up the 2 points. But how concerning is it that this continues to happen to this team where they take a lead and they can't hold it down on the back end?
Well, I mean, it depends, Eric. You know, on one side of it, you're playing the best defensive team in the league in Tampa. So, you know, they're going to get their chances. You know, even the tying goal is a redirection on a point shot. But what I liked about it is, I mean, Van Riemsdyk's goal was, 3 or 4 minutes into the third period to give them the lead again. And I think they only gave up 8 shots after that. So to me, sort of the difference between, or definitely the difference between this year and last year is, you know, sometimes leads have disappeared, but it hasn't been that full-blown panic in their own end, where a year ago, Tampa ties it up 3-3, and you're saying it's done. This is going to be a 5-3, 6-3 game. Where now, you know, even in the last minute and a half, 2 minutes of regulation, when Vasilevsky went to the bench for the extra attacker, you didn't feel that panic. You didn't feel that, oh no, here's this impending doom, and we're going to overtime, and we're going to lose it again.
Well, you mentioned, I mean, everybody is, you know, when the team is playing well, everybody looks good. But, and, you know, Matthews getting, I don't know how many points he's got, 11 points in the last 9 games. That's not real surprising. That's sort of what you've come to it. We've come to expect from this guy. You talked about Marner and how he has rediscovered himself, at least his goal scoring. He's, you know, even when people were kind of critical of his play, I think he led the team in assists and was like third or fourth in scoring on the team. So it wasn't as if he didn't fall off the map. He just wasn't scoring goals. Now he's getting a few goals and he's getting lots of assists. And now Nylander, who was disappointing, I would say, over the first 40 or so games, now has kind of popped in. He's got 12 points in his last 9 games. What is he doing anything different? When you sit there and look at him, do you see something that he's doing now that he wasn't doing earlier?
Well, you know, I mean, we've got the best seats in the house up in the press box. Everything looks like a video game where you can see where everybody is on the ice and you can see who's going. But what's noticeable about, and I would say this with Mitch Marner as well, the speed is back. You know, it seems that every time he's got the puck, he's in full flight. And that's when, you know, when they seem to struggle, it's making that 15, 20-foot pass out of their zone. That seems to be the problem. Now, if they do that, and it's to somebody that's moving, all of a sudden everything's going in the right direction. But if there's a little hiccup or they get chased back and the defensemen have to circle back, and now the forward circles around the center and you get the other guy waiting at the far blue line for the puck, now all of a sudden there's no flow. And what I've noticed with Nylander especially, it seems like his timing is there when to take off. And you saw last night Matthews hit him on the breakaway pass. So it's pretty neat from the press box when you can notice a guy's speed and you notice that he's in full flight and guys can't catch him. And that's happened with Marner. It's happened with even Kasperi Kapanen at times.
Yeah.
Where you see it's a tape-to-tape pass and wow, all of a sudden they're fast again.
I don't see, you know, there's all this talk about Nylander being moved to center at some point. And even Babcock hasn't dismissed that possibility. He's still a very young player. But you don't see that happening, barring injury, the rest of the season or into the playoffs, do you?
No, I mean he has taken some draws. You know, when it's when it's on his strong side, he and Matthews will switch. But I mean, personally, I like him. I like him with his speed and with the shot off the wing. And I think it's going to be, you know, you might get into a Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane debate. You know, who's better with who? Down the road. A long time it was Toews and Kane, and then you get an assortment of guys that can have some chemistry together and move guys around. But to be honest, I like him on the wing. You know, I think he's his speed is utilized more, let's put it that way, on the wing than playing center. But I mean, time will tell. Everybody says that strength down the middle is the key to winning championships, but I just like the combination. You got the hard player and Matthews up the middle. They both can shoot the puck. They both have, you know, great hockey intelligence and creativity. To me, that's one of those things that, hey, if it's working now, why would you screw with it even a year from now?
You're talking about things working right now, Jim. How about Frederik Andersen in Nets? Because at the start of the season, you start to raise your eyebrow a little bit. You wonder, is he going to be the guy? Is he going to be able to go 60, 70 games for the Leafs this year? And he has been stellar, but he has also been one of the reasons that these games are even close. And when it gets up into high scoring, maybe threes and fours, he finds a way to batten down the hatches on the back end and keep the buds in these games so at least Matthews, Marner, and Nylander can go out there and try and get you one more than the other club.
Yeah, and I think, Eric, you look at the Nashville game last week, I mean, it's a blowout. the other way if it's not for Freddie Anderson. Now, having said that, look at the teams that are in the playoffs. They're pretty, some pretty good goaltenders, you know, from Tuukka Rask, who's had a great year. Vasilevsky, who we saw last night and then had an off night. But I'd be surprised if he's not the Vezina Trophy winner. So those are the teams that are ahead in your own division. And so a lot of times I think Freddie Anderson's just got to match what the elite do. And but I'd put him in the top five, top eight goaltenders in the league right now. But, you know, when you start looking around the league, you're saying, you know, everybody in the playoff spot has a guy that's going to go in and steal your game some nights.
Yeah, I'll go a step further. I've been saying for a couple of weeks now. Well, in the last few weeks, what we've seen is all these experts come out with the lists of, you know, who the candidates are for the individual awards and, you know, like top three for the Vezina. And I saw a whole bunch of those lists online and in various places. Freddie Anderson wasn't on anybody's list. Marc-Andre Fleury wasn't on anybody's list. I think those are two guys that should be on that list. And statistics sometimes belie, themselves. Because, you know, Freddie's save percentage is pretty good. His wins is among the best in the league. His goals against average is okay. But you got to look at the youth that he's playing behind. And when you put all those things together, I'm not saying he wins it. But you better think about him before you jot down a name on a ballot. You got a minute to respond.
Well, I mean, especially if you're consistently talking about a team that needs help on the blue line.
That's right.
You know, so if they're struggling on the blue line, who holds a minute? But Jerry Cheevers once had a great line, Bobcat, where he said, statistics never lie, but they can often stretch the truth. And I think with Freddie Anderson, you could say the goals against average maybe higher than some of the elite in the league.
That's right.
But
there's a reason. Yeah, it's not, and he's not the reason on almost every on every count. It's because
even, you know, like Eric was saying, he gives up three last night, and he still makes three or four unbelievable saves to keep him in.
Yeah, he was the better goaltender for sure. That's only one game, but all right, you've done your duty, Ralphie. Back to sleeping or whatever the hell you were doing, counting your money.
And we'll,
however long that takes.
No, I'm done.
We'll talk soon.
All right,
see you, pal.